United Nations has warned that bees, butterflies and various insects that act as pollinators are disappearing from the globe at an alarming speed. Experts say over 40% of insect species around the world are threatened with extinction and warn that this could have a devastating impact on humankind. In addition to the importance of protecting biodiversity within the food chain, there is the consideration that about three-fourths of the world's food crops depend on pollinators. I spoke to Martin Rexa from Friends of the Earth about the gravity of the problem, what needs to be done, and how each and every one of us can contribute in a small way.
Well, the problem is quite serious because when we see the statistics of the decline of the species, they are quite alarming. So, for example, in the global rate, two-fifths of the all insects are in decline and are certainly with extinction. And of course, the insect is key in the working of the ecosystems because they are part of the food chain. So if we would lose the insect, it would threaten all the working of ecosystems. Of course, we depend on the ecosystems and on ecosystem services. So we can see that this trend of the decline of insect and also of pollinators is global, and it touches also the Czech Republic and the Europe. So
how dangerous would it be? What effects would it have if they were to continue disappearing?
It's hard to say because we actually can never be sure what will exactly happen if the decrease will continue, because there could be some like breaking point when the whole this ecosystems will collapse. But if we take it like from current point, the decline of pollinators of course influences the production of our food, because for example in Europe 80% of this crops and wildflowers are depending on pollination. So if the decrease continues, the food production will be lower, and there is a clear connection between the yields of a lot of crops, mainly fruits or vegetables, and of the pollinators' activity. So it would cause also the problems in the production of food, for example.
So it would threaten the world's food supply. What about how one species is dependent on another if one disappears?
Yeah. We don't see these declines only in pollinators and insects, but for example also in birds, because of course birds feed on insects mostly. So if the pollinators and insects go down, the birds will go down too in the numbers. And of course birds are another part of the food chain. So of course it's hard to say how it will develop in longer term, if we could approach some breaking point, but it's evident that we shouldn't.
Let it continue. Over how long a period has this been happening?
Because the two main reasons of the decline are, first, climate change, but also, I don't want to say mainly, but the second big reason is the land use and mainly the intensification of the agriculture. We can see these signs from 50s, 60s, but it's increasing as the intensification of the agriculture continues. In Europe or in developed world, the intensification is already very high, but this now also is happening in developing world. So we can see these declines increasing in these parts of the world.
Well, what can be done to reverse the process?
Of course, first thing is to fight the climate change. And that is not only about biodiversity, but also about the survival of the humankind. And the second big thing which we should do is to somehow transform our agriculture into the way which will be more friendly to biodiversity, and not only biodiversity, of course, because the healthy agriculture also leads to healthier food and cleaner water. So we need to transform our food system in a way, and agriculture and how we produce.
Is the government aware of the problem? Is it taking steps to resolve it? Or is what about the European Union? Is there a common policy on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a common agricultural policy which puts the subsidies on agriculture in place in Europe. And this common agricultural policy was previously, from after the Second World War, oriented on the mainly on the yield, because of course we needed to secure the food for the rising population after the Second World War. But then when we started to realize that with this intensification the problems are coming, also the common agricultural policy started to reflect this, but it's not definitely sufficient. Now there is a hope that the European Union and mainly European Commission actually take this more serious than before. You probably know about the European Green Deal. So as a part of this European Green Deal, the European Commission published two strategies which are about biodiversity and also about food system. And they actually put some goals. They want to achieve some goals until 2030, which are quite hopeful. And it will depend if these goals will be taken seriously by member states and if Europe will try to achieve these goals. For example, some goals which are there is that in the agricultural landscape there should be 10% of natural non-productive features which would provide this living space for animals, for plants, for wild plants, for pollinators. Or there is also a goal about decreasing the use of pesticides or about increasing the area of organic farming, which is the way how agriculture could work in hand with protection of nature.
I read recently that something called bio-rings are being established around Prague with plants rich in nectar to increase nectar resources. To what extent would things like that help?
Well, these things are also covered by subsidies in the European Union. Of course, farmers can or people can do these things also by themselves, but European Union supports this. They are definitely beneficial because they are like a mixture of flowers which pollinators, mainly pollinators, like, so they are attracted by these bio-rings. It's good that on these bio-rings there is no pesticides and fertilizers used, so it gives the space to insects, which is important. So they are definitely beneficial. I think more beneficial would be to mainly, for example, in Czech Republic, to renew the landscape again, or to renew the landscape features as hedgerows or some trees and solitary trees or line of trees or buffer strips, which would be permanent. So it would provide the skeleton of the landscape where the insects and animals would have their space.
Can people help individually by not cutting the grass too often? For instance, we've heard that that damages.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a lot of ways how individual can help. Yes, as you said, if you have a garden or you don't have to focus to, you have a very sterile monocultural lawn which you move every moment. So there are no flowers which could bloom. But for example, what is also very important, and I support people to do this, is just to buy food from farmers you know, or from organic farmers, where you know that the farmers are taking care about the landscape, or they are farming in a way which is not harmful to insects or to biodiversity generally. I think we need to learn in a way true value of food, and also to discuss what landscape and food we want.
So lots of things that individuals can do on a small scale. What about this fashion trend of having little hotels for insects? Is that any good at all?
Yeah. That's, for example, one way. Of course, they are also like a artificial thing, which is definitely helpful. And when you have it and you see that the insect is have a space there, it's great. Also, what you can just do to actually have a little mess in your garden. You don't have to have a completely clean
like a
garden.
Pile of wood and overgrown grass and a place where they can be
Exactly. I think actually what we should try to achieve is to have the most diverse space how we can have, because that's exactly what not only insects but all the animals need, very diverse space, which today is not mainly when you go, for example, in Czech Republic through the landscape through the land, you see that there are very, very large fields where any animals or insects doesn't have any space to be. So that's, in a small scale, that's what your garden can be also.
With regard to this problem, how much time does mankind have to turn things around?
Well, as I already said, it's hard to say what will happen exactly. I think we shouldn't definitely wait for anything. And I think it's clear that people and politicians start to realize that this way is not sustainable. So we should definitely start now.
Martin Reksa, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.